Ayin Chesamid Aleph 2, 4, 6, 8 lines in the bottom of the page. Okay? And the Mishnah, if you remember, there was a whole argument. If a ged marries a giyadis and has a daughter, can that daughter marry a kayin? Mm-hmm. Or a ged or a giyadis, three different opinions in the Mishnah. Whose daughter is a kayin allowed to marry? One opinion says only if it's a ged and a giyadis he can't. One opinion says even a ged and a giyadis he could. Another opinion says even if a ged, the father, he can't. And now, you know, the whole different opinion. We're going to see again in the Gemara. So the Mishnah says, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Eimer, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said that ged, that if a ged marries a Yisrael, his daughter could marry a Kohen. Okay? Rabbi Yossi said, even if a male convert married a female convert, they can get married to the children. Right? That's, remember, that was the famous thing in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi hold, even if both parents are gedim, their daughter can marry a Kohen. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov said that if a male ged, marries a Jewish girl, the daughter can marry a Kohen. But not if they're both gedim. Okay, that's what it says. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says like this. Giyedis p'chus mibas sholosh shanim v'yem echod. A giyedis that converted when she was less than 3 years old, k'sheira l'kohuna, can marry a kohuna.
She's not less than 3 years
old? She became a ged when she was less than 3 years old. Mm-hmm. Give a simple example. She was adopted from birth.
Okay.
Yeah. She was adopted from birth. Uh-huh. And the parents converted the kid and she wasn't 3 years old yet. Less than 3 years old.
And what does the tree have to do within it?
We'll see you in a second.
How can it convert the girl 3 years old?
That's best. I'll explain. Let's see the Gemara. I'll explain the whole thing. A girl that was Megayer, Reb Shimon Yochai says, a Giyadis that was less than 3 years old, Ksheira Lukuna is Kamaria Koin. Shenemar, because it says, V'chola Taf Banoshim, when they came back from Midian, right? So Meshe Rabbeinu said that all the babies of the girls, Hachayu Lachem, you can keep them, you know, they keep them alive. What does it mean? V'lei Pinchas ha'yimam, Pinchas was together with them. Pinchas was a Kohen. Right? Pinchas at this time was a Kohen. And yet, the Torah says like this. The way that Shimon Yochai learns the Pasuk, the Torah says, any baby, a Taf, you can keep him alive, and eventually, what the Gemara thought, Reb Shimon Yochai thinks, she can eventually convert, and then you can marry them.
Pinchas, who was older, he could marry a woman less than 3 years old?
Well, that's what the Rav Shimon Yochai says. The Torah says any girl less than 3 years old you can keep alive. Eventually she'll convert. You convert her, and then she can marry, and Pinchas would be allowed to marry them. So you see that a girl that was converted less than 3 years old, okay, can marry. Rabbanan Amar no. Rabbanan who argue on Rav Shimon Yochai say no. Hachiyu lochem. Lavodim l'shvachas. The Pasuk never said to keep the babies that she could be married to them. I mean, they could be your slaves. Because the Chachamim hold, and this is very practical, by the way, in Halacha, according to Reb Shimon Yochai, a girl that converted when she was 2 years old can marry a Kohen. Because a regular Giyadis cannot. A girl over 3 that converted, according to all opinions, cannot marry a Kohen.
So the same
Pinchas'
wife was converted.
That's what they say, yeah. But he married her before he became a Kohen. Because he wasn't born a Kohen. Meaning like this. The reason why a Kohen cannot marry a Giyadis over 3, okay, it's questionable, but the bottom line is, because she's a Zayna. Because the assumption is, a girl over 3 that somebody lived with, she loses her psulim. She loses her virginity. A girl under 3, the din is, if somebody lives with a girl, has relations with a girl under 3, then psula chayzris, it says, she doesn't lose her virginity. She still remains a virgin. So Reb Shimon Yochai says, from the pasuk we see, the fact that the Torah says, hachiyu lochem, that means, why so Reb Shimon Yochai says like this. She doesn't become no more virgin. She becomes back a virgin anyway. So what are you afraid? She lived with somebody under 3, but under 3 it doesn't matter because she becomes back a psula again. So therefore, Reb Shimon Yochai says you could. Chum said no, that's not what the pasuk means. The pasuk says, hachi ulachem, you can't. So therefore, the din is like this. A girl, according to all opinions, a girl that converted 3 years old and older, a kohen cannot marry her. A kohen cannot marry her. By the way, it's interesting, the question, can you give a psula ksuba on a girl that converted less than 3 years old? Can you give her a ksuba of a psula? Mm-hmm. And that halach is that you could. She can't marry a kohen, but the ksuba, you could write her as a psula.
We just said she can, less than three.
Why not?
We just said they are not allowed. She's not allowed.
No, the chamo, the kain, can't marry her, but the ksuba you can write. Now, what do you do with it? There's a din in the Gemara Ksubis. Ger katan, matbila neisei al das bezdin. When a ger is a kid, a goy, it's a boy or a girl, babies. Bezdin is table that matbila neisei al das bezdin. It says, why matbila? Because that's the second part of conversion, okay? For a boy, you want to convert, yeah, besides Kabbalah's mitzvahs, yeah? You need to do bris and mikvah. Mila and Tvila, in that order. Mila, then Tvila. If somebody is a girl that converts, so then you only need Tvila, obviously. There's no Mila. So the Gemara says, Bezdin is allowed, so for a katan, you don't need Kabbalah's mitzvahs. Because they're a baby. So I'll tell you where this is very practical today. People adopt children. People that can't have their own children, so they adopt children. So these children that they adopt, sometimes they adopt it from birth or from when they're young. So you can't take a baby a day old and dunk them in the mikveh. They wait at least 6 weeks. They wait 6 weeks. What happens is, let's say it's a girl, yeah? So Bezdin, the parents adopted this kid. Now the parents are frum. They want to be megayer this kid to raise him as a frum kid, right? So what happens is the father goes into the mikveh in front of the bezdin. Bezdin is standing there. And the father holds the baby in the hand and dunks it quickly under the water a few times. It's okay. The kid cries a little bit, but it's not dangerous. In and out of the water. And then the kid, the bezdin, this is done in front of bezdin, the kid's Jewish.
Is no chatzitza?
No, because he lets go, and the water gets in. If it's a boy, they do a bris, and then they bring him to the mikveh. Now, when the kid becomes bar and bas mitzvah,
aren't you supposed to tell him?
Because it was done al das bezdin, so there's a whole question exactly what to do. But the bottom line is, a girl on her 12th birthday, or a boy on his day of 13th, if they say, I don't want to be a Jew, they're back a goy again. That's it. They're back a goy. If they say, I want to be a Jew, if then the day of Baron Bas Mitzvah, they say, I want to be a Jew, so that's it. Then the gate is kosher. And if 7 years later they decide to become a goy, it's like any ger that converted kaloch and becomes a goy again, they're still Jewish. Okay? So what they usually try to do on the day of the Bar Mitzvah, they make the kid, isn't it wonderful being a Jew? Look at all, you know, isn't it nice becoming bar mitzvah? And they say, they don't tell the kid you can...
That you
no, even if they do, they don't want to tell the kid you can change your mind. What's going to be... What?
Don't they tell the kid he's adopted?
Yes and no, whatever.
No?
It's a whole other question in halacha. Halachically, you have to... Okay, it's not for... That's a separate issue. But the bottom line is, so the ger, they have a ger katan matbila, and I said, that's best. I myself was at many times a geris that, I didn't do it again, but I was involved in a geris that, they dunked the kid in the mikveh, and then when they become bar bas mitzvah, that day, they have the ability to change their mind, then they become a full-fledged goy, and that's it. Okay? Once that day went by, and they lived as a Jew, or they did mitzvahs as a Jew, then they become a Jew.
You tell them that day, the bar mitzvah and a bas mitzvah?
Yeah.
Who tells them that?
They don't tell him, I told you. What they say to them, isn't it nice to be a bar mitzvah? And they say, yeah, it's so nice. I'm getting all these presents. Mm-hmm. And then the kids stays a Jew. So there is a concept of a get caught in matbila and I say, that's best.
But they know they
the only that. Question is, and this is a very big, that's not really a machlekes. There are some people want to say it, but it's not correct. What happens if the parents are not frum and they adopt a kid? and the parents want to convert the kid.
The
parent adopts a 5-year-old kid or a baby, whatever, and they want to be Megayah the kid.
Yeah, Orthodox.
They want to do an Orthodox Gaitis, let's say. You won't find that, rarely will an Orthodox Besdin do the Gaitis.
Why?
Because they're going to be Megayah the kid, is going to be Jewish, and he's going to grow up to be not from. The parents are not from. So what are you doing? You're bringing in a Ged. So even though technically the Gaitis is good because the kid doesn't need Kabbalah's mitzvahs because he's too young, but what are you basically doing? You're making a convert that's not going to keep Yiddishkeit. So why should the Bezdin want to bring a guy and make him a Jew that he shouldn't keep Yiddishkeit? I mean, why should they do that? They're not going to do it. There's a whole kind of, you should, you shouldn't, you. As we were most Bati Dinim. So Rabbi Shimon Yochai came along and said that a girl that converted less than 3 years old can marry a kohen. The chachamim say no, and he says like this: v'kula mikra echadosh. Both of them, the chachamim and Reb Shimon Yochai, derive it from another pasuk. It says in Yecheskel. It says like this: amanu grusha lo yichu lohem lenashim. And this, by the way, that the Gemara is going to explain these psukim, but the Gemara, it says in the Gemara in a different place, that they wanted to bury the book of Yecheskel because of this. It's the Haftarah of Parshas Emor. There's a lot of contradictions in those psukim between what it says in Chumash. So here the Gemara is going to answer some of them. Okay? But then if you look at the pasuk like this, it says, Almano Grusha, a widow and a divorcee, Lo Yichu Lehem Lenashim. They cannot take as wives, Kim Besulis Mezerah Beis Yisro, only from a virgin. Okay?
What does it mean?
Right? So Rabbi Yehuda says, what does this pasuk mean? The Gemara is going back to, you know, remember, we said before, there's 4 Tanoim hold, if both parents are Gedim, if one is a Ged, if none of them are, you know, that whole thing. So he says like this. Rabbi Yehuda says both parents have to be Jewish. I mean, you're not Gedim. Why does it mean? When it says Besula Mizera Beis Yisrael, it means Adi is called Zera Mi Yisrael. Who can marry a Kayin? A girl that comes from completely both Jewish parents. You know, it's not converts, both come Jewish parents. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Eimer, Afilu Miksa Zera. Because the Torah uses the word Mizera, from the seed. That means not all of the seed. Even from the seed is good. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, "Afilu mixes zera, even if only one of the, you know, if a daughter of a male convert who married a Jewish girl can marry a kohen." Rabbi Yossi says, "No, any parent, even if they're both gaidim, they can marry a kohen. Why? Because he said, Misha Nizru be Yisrael. The parents are both Jewish; they converted, right? So this baby is coming from Jewish parents." Because they both converted. So Rabbi Yossi says they're called Zera Yisrael. Rabbi Shimon Yochai Savad. Rabbi Shimon Yochai, who says a girl under 3, that's the fourth of it, that the Kamaria Kayin, Mishenizru Besuleho be Yisrael. Rabbi Shimon Yochai says if she was a Psula when she became a Jew, meaning under 3, she can marry a Jew. So the Gemara says like this. By the way, there's a big problem. The Gemara is going to explain this a little bit now. Because this pasuk doesn't make sense. It's against Torah. Because if it's a Kohen Gadol, he can't marry an Almana either. If it's a regular Kohen, he could marry an Almana. Right? What does it say here? Almana ugrusha lo yichu lohem lenashim. So it's both wrong.
Both of them. Yeah.
Because a Kohen Gadol can only marry none of them. A regular Kohen can marry an Almana. In fact, Amalei Rav Nachman L'Rava, Rav Nachman said to Rava, this is very strange. Haikra Reisha B'Kohen Gadol. The beginning refers to a Kohen Gadol. Because it says, Amanu Grusha Lo Yichu Lo Nashim. Right? Who does that go on? Obviously a Kohen Gadol. Because a Kohen Hedyit could marry an Almana. And then the second part of the pasuk says, the Gemara doesn't bring it down, but the Rambam brings it. Almana asheti almana mikayin yikachu. But a widow who became a widow from a kayin, you could marry. Who's that talking about? A regular kayin, because a kayin gadol can't marry an almana. So he says, does it make sense that in the same pasuk, part of it speaking about a kayin gadol, and part of it speaking about a regular kayin? Amalei, he said, yahain. Yeah, we find it in many places. Anyway, but it's interesting because this pasuk again doesn't make sense. Because when a kohen can marry an almana, it doesn't have to be an almana of a kohen. It could be any almana. But the second pasuk says, listen to the pasuk, ho almana asheti almana mikohen. So the Gemara says in other places that that whole thing doesn't make sense. And because of that, they wanted to bury the whole book of Yecheskel.
Because of this pasuk?
Because of this whole parak. Uh-huh. It's after November. They wanted to bury the whole thing. But Leperl, the Chachamim came and they answered what it means, and you know, so they were okay with it.
But the Masa, why such a...
What?
Contradiction. I mean, Yecheskel, I mean, he was a Navi, no?
Huh?
A Navi to...
Anyway, but that's not for now. That's the problem with Yecheskel. Learn Yecheskel, you'll figure it out.
But only this area of it, not
yeah,
the whole
yeah, 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 just this. But the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, 1 minute, the beginning of the pasuk that says you can't marry a grusha almana speaks about a kohen gadol. And the second part that says an almana you could marry speaks about a regular kohen. So he says, yeah, we find such a thing. Where else do we find it? Amalei, in, yeah, we find another pasuk. It says in the pasuk by Shmuel, when Shmuel finally was 2 years old and he came to the Beis HaMikdash under Eli HaKohen, so it says over there like this, Nerem Elokim Terem Yichbe, before the light of God, meaning before the Menorah even went out, Shmuel Sheikha Beheichel Hashem, Shmuel was laying down in the Azara. Okay, that's what the pasuk says. Shmuel was sleeping, and then, you know, he heard somebody call him, and he thought Eli called him, and he went to Eli and said, did you call me? He said, no, I didn't call you, go back to sleep. And it happened a few times. And really Hashem was speaking to him.
Shmuel as a baby.
Shmuel, 2 years old. Or by now he's a little bit older, but it doesn't say how old he was. And Hashem called him. And Eli said to him, Eli knew it wasn't me calling him, so it must have been Hashem. So Eli said to him, go back to sleep, and the next time he calls you, say Hineini. Mm-hmm. So he said Hineini, Hashem started speaking to Shmuel for the first time. He had Nevuah. Okay? But what does the pasuk say? Ner elokim terem yichpa, that before the candle of Hashem, before the menorah was extinguished, Shmuel sheikh beichal Hashem, and Shmuel was sleeping. So the Gemara says, but halai ein yeshiva bazara elal malchi bezovid bilvad. The din is nobody's allowed to sit in the azara, only a melech ben dov beis David. So how could Shmuel sleep in the azara? You're not allowed to even sleep there, sit there. How could he sleep there? And then the pasuk continues. What it means is like this: El ner elokim terem yichbe beheichal Hashem. That before the menorah went out in the heichal, in the azara, Shmuel was sleeping somewhere else. So you see, the beginning of the pasuk is speaking about the heichal, and the end of the pasuk is speaking about outside of the heichal. See, we find such a thing. The Gemara says in Psukim that the beginning of the pasuk speaks about a regular a kohen gadol, and the second half of the pasuk speaks about a kohen hegel.
Well, he never left based on this, right? He was underneath something.
Yeah, he was there forever. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to ask on this pasuk in Yecheskel. It says a kohen can marry an almana who is an almana of a kohen. So the Gemara says, "Almana asheti almana mikayin mikachu." So the Gemara says, "Mikayin ain miyisroli." A kohen can't marry an almana of a regular. It's not true. A kohen can marry an almana, any almana, not only from a kohen. So the Gemara says, "Hachi kamar mikayin yikachu," meaning a widow of a kohen. Mikayin yikachu means like this: Mishar kohen yikachu. Not. It doesn't mean the, a widow of a kohen. It means a widow any kohen can marry, except a kohen gadol. Almana mikohen you kavel. All the other kayanim can marry an almana, but not. It doesn't mean almana of a kayan.
Playing with the word.
Playing with the words. Tanya nami hachi. So we learned in the Brice. It says mikayin yikach. When the pasuk says a kayan can may take it, it means mishar kayan yikach. The almana and mikayin. All the other kayanim yikachu could marry her except the kayan god. Rabbi Yehuda says another explanation of the pasuk. Min amasiyim lekohuna yikachu. It doesn't mean an amona of a kohen. It means he can marry a woman who's kosher for a kohen. What does that mean? An amona is kosher for a kohen. But what happens if this woman was divorced and then she became an almona? So then a kohen can't marry her. Even though now she's an almona, but the fact that she was divorced, that's not a kosher woman for a kohen to be able to marry, so then he wouldn't be allowed. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda l'taymei, this goes according to Rabbi Yehuda's logic, because it says like this, the Amar Rabbi Yehuda holds, basker zachar, the daughter of a male convert, cannot marry a kohen. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Kebas cholo, zachar josik a cholo. Right, a kohen who married a divorce, he had a kid, is a cholo. If he marries a regular Yisraelis, their kid cannot marry a kohen. So Rabbi Yehuda holds the same thing over here. Again, who married a Yisraelis cannot marry a kohen. V'chol she'yata neisa bitei, and any time you can't marry the daughter, yata neisa minunusa, you cannot marry his widow either. Meaning, if a cholo was married to a woman, okay, and she became a widow from the cholo, the cholo died, a kohen can't not marry his wife. Because just like a kohen cannot marry the cholo's daughter. So the Yehuda says, just like if you can't marry his daughter, you can't marry his widow either.
But the widow is not a part of him.
Doesn't matter. That's what the Yehuda holds. The Yehuda says, a bas cholo is like a bas ger. Or bas ger is like a bas cholo. And then, therefore, the Yehuda says, a cholo marrying Yisraelis, their daughter, 100% Jewish, cannot marry a kohen. So same thing, a zachar ged that marries the Yisraelis, you cannot marry the daughter. Rabbi Yehuda holds, right? So Rabbi Yehuda holds, not only cannot marry the daughter, he can't marry the girl either. That means if a ger married a full-fledged Jewish woman, yeah, and the ger died, a kohen cannot marry his wife, according to Rabbi Yehuda.
That's not the halacha, no?
No, right now we're going to see. Rabbi Yaisi Eimer, Rabbi Yaisi says, Avgesh Anasa Giyadis, eat a ged that marries a Giyadis, they both gave him, the daughter is allowed to marry a Kayan. Okay? Amr Av Amnunim Mishmei Da'ula, Alacha Krabi Yaisi. Well, we're not done yet. V'chein Amr Abba Barbachana, Alacha Krabi Yaisi. That what? That even if both parents are gaydim, their daughter can marry a kohen. But umiyem shachar beis hamikdash, from the day the beis hamikdash was destroyed, nog ukeinim silsil ba'atzmam. The kohen took upon himself a higher standard, like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov holds: if both parents are gaydim, you shouldn't marry the kid. If one parent is a ger, you could. Okay? So the Gemara says like this. The halacha is really like Rabbi Yaisi, that even if both parents are gaydim, the daughter can marry a kohen. But the chachamim were strict, like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who said that if both parents are gaydim, a kohen can't marry them. And that's why, by the way, interestingly, la halacha, taka today we don't.
We don't what?
A kohen cannot marry the daughter of two gaydim. But what happens if you didn't know, whatever, and they got married? They don't need to divorce. Because halacha is like Rabbi Yaisi. It's just a chumra that the kohenim accepted upon themselves not to marry the daughter of two gaydim. But if they got married, then the halacha is like Rabbi Yaisi, that you don't have to divorce. The same thing, la halacha, it's also in Shchunach, that a girl whose father is not Jewish, the mother is 100% Jewish, not a ger, a goy. A guy married a Jewish woman. They had a daughter. So the daughter is a kosher kid. I mean, 100% Jew, right? But the Chachil says they cannot marry a Kohen. Shulchan Aruch says they cannot marry a Kohen. What happens if they got married? They don't have to divorce. I had a case once, a rabbi many years ago. A rabbi who should have known better did a wedding. He didn't know that the girl's father, a guy, that a Kohen can't marry her. He didn't know the halacha. Because not, it's a siman later than all the other. So, the pearl, they got married. So the halacha is, they can stay married, they don't have to divorce. If a Kohen marries a Grusha, they have to divorce. If a Kohen marries a Zayin, a Chalal, or whatever, you know, they have to divorce. But this halacha is, that even like Rabbi Yossi, that halacha is, that you could marry, the girl could marry a Kohen. So Chatchila, the Gemara says they were machmenatu, but the pearl, if it was done, it was done.
Is a halacha.
What?
That if the father is
going,
then
no, it's a lechatchila chumra. Meaning, but if they got married, you don't have to divorce.
So it's not a chumra. So why the rabbi should be careful not to marry?
No, because lechatchila you're not allowed to. Yeah. See, Amal, Amal of Nachu. Just see this. Amal Yehuna. Okay, Bali Malach. What happens if a guy, a kohen, comes and says, "Can I marry this daughter of two gedim?" Made him like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. We paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we tell him no. But Nasa, Eimetzin Eisi Mimani Kerabi Eisi. Like we just said, the Chathili, you can't marry them. But if they got married, for whatever reason it is.
Oh, so he can say, well, I'm not going to listen to you guys, I'm going to get married anyway.
Who's going to marry them? A from Rabbi won't marry them.
Isn't all these cases that Gerim, you know, we are saying no to them, isn't that like oppressing them, and the Torah says do not oppress the Ger? I mean, isn't that...
They're not called Kahal Hashem. It's not oppressing them.
But it's clear that you cannot oppress a Ger, you cannot oppress a Yesuma.
A Mamzer technically can marry a Giyaitis, remember we learned. You don't, because then the kids would also be
no,
mamzer.
No, we are making chumras for them, yeah, against them.
Because the kohen is holy.
Don't they feel kind of...
What's wrong with the grusha?
They are not convert yet. After they convert, then they cannot...
No, these are people that converted already.
No, they're converted.
No, again and again, from got married and have a daughter. So chatchil, that daughter cannot marry a kohen.
I mean, I'm saying...
But by the way, we do paskin, if one of the parents are gaydim, either only one, then lechatchila they can marry a kohen. So only when both we pass on to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov lechatchila. But if they got married, then we pass on to Rabbi Yossi that they don't have to divorce.
I mean, as far as midot or you know being.
But the Torah says there's a certain blemish to it, and therefore we can't do it. Let me ask you a question: a cholol didn't do anything wrong.
Cholol is different.
One minute.
This is clearly about the.
Let me ask you a question. A cholol, his father and mother. His father's a kohen, and she was a grusha. He married her. But he's a full-fledged Jew.
Yeah.
He marries a Jewish girl. 100%. Yeah. And they have a daughter. What's wrong with that daughter? That she can't marry a kohen.
But
what's the problem with
Jew? There is a specific.
We're not making fun of the Ger. We're just telling the Ger.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Why can't? Okay, so a Geyer can't marry a Kayin. So you say we're racist against the ACLU? Would come in?
No, that's a halacha. But
why?
When we make chumras,
not chumras, the halacha. Okay, Mishnah.
For Israel, is no problem, right? If the father is goy, and
they
want to marry lachatchila.
No problem.
Only for Kohen we are concerned.
Yeah. The lady could also marry him. No, I'm saying it's just a special Kedusha of a Kohen.
Even applies today, they would say Kohanim has the same Kedusha as them?
They have a din of a Kohen. They can't go to cemeteries. Good, now, there's another interesting mission. Now it's not speaking about getting married, it's speaking about if a father says my kids are mamzers, he believes or not.
But he would know.
No, we'll see 1 minute. If anything, the wife would know better.
No.
1 second. Hey, a mamzer. If a guy says my kid's a mamzer, the din is ein anamen. He's not believed. You know, if a guy says I married an ashishish and she became pregnant, or I married a sister, whatever, you know, it creates a mamzer. Ein anamen. Afilu shneim meidim al uba shebimeya. Even if the husband and wife say about the fetus, and the Gemara is going to explain why the Gemara is talking, the Mishnah is talking about fetus. The both of them, the husband and wife say, this kid that the woman's carrying is a mamzer. Ein anamonim. They're not believed. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, namonim, in both cases, the father is believed. Not the mother, by the way, just the father.
He's always mechmer.
Oh, not always. Okay, so the Chachamim hold, not only if the father says he's a mamzer, even if both of them say he's a mamzer, they're not believed. The Gemara is going to explain now why. Like, what? Why aren't they believed? So the Gemara says, "Maya filush name." What is it? What's the point of saying that even if they both say, you know, what does that mean? So he says, "Lay me boy come." Not only meaning, "Lay me boy." Not only the father, the father is not sure if the kids are moms or not. There's no way the father knows who she got pregnant from. Maybe she got pregnant from somebody else, right? So the father, who would really know if they're a moms or not? The mother would know who she became pregnant from, right? By the way, it's interesting. You know, when you make a mishabech for somebody who's sick, it says you make the mother's name. Why?
For sure.
Because that's, it says in Svat, because that's for sure. What's who the mother is, we know for sure. The father, we don't know.
So, always we should say whether you go to
mother. Mishabech for a chayla, you use the mother's name. Wow.
But not for Lila Nishama, why not?
We, our meaning is by Yisko, we use the mother's name too. Chabad custom. Yeah. Oh. Okay. Only by Yisko.
Well, why not the, there's what other situation?
Kelmali Rachmim. By a funeral, we use the father's name. Just by Yisko. Okay, whatever.
A Persian use the father.
Yeah. Everybody does. So he says like this. Lay me boy, the lay kim lay ala fil ihi. Even the wife. Okay. The kim lay, who knows. Okay? Le mehemna, she's not believed. Even the mother's not believed. And so why did he speak about the fetus and the mother? So you say like this. Le mi boy hechadika le chaskas kashrus, not only when the kid is already born, where the kid is already established to be a kosher kid. Do le mehemna, that they're not believed. Ela filu ubernami. Even the kid's not even born yet. So the kid is not even a chazaka being Jewish yet. The last say chazkas the kasher, so he's not even have a chazaka being kosher. Like Mamda did not believe. Meaning like this: when a kid is born, as soon as he's born, al pidin, he has a chazaka being a kosher kid. Until you know differently, right? So a year later, the parents say the kid's a mamzer. I would think over there they're not believed, because the kid is born. Alpidini as a chazaka being a kosher Jew. Now you wake up a year later and you want to change the chazaka, so the parents are not believed. But a baby in the mother, the fetus within the mother, never was born yet. So I would think, because there's no chazaka being a yid, I would think maybe the parents are believed to say he's not, kamash malan, that he's not.
How is it that as soon as born it becomes cheskat basher? If nothing changed.
Because a baby that's born to Jewish parents in Chazaka, being kosher.
If he's there also, he has got kosher.
And no, but the kid's not born yet. Why? He didn't live yet.
What makes it different?
So he's not a Chazaka of life not. Yet.
There's no Chazaka of life yet.
But life doesn't make it Jewish. I don't know the concept of...
The fact that he's born and he is existing, so then he lives...
30 days?
Huh?
30 days
with Pashtus.
I don't understand. When it's in the, it's an Uber, definitely it's not, doesn't have a Chazaka. So it's not...
Right. So I would think maybe the parents are believed to passel the kid. So the Mishnah says they're still not believed.
They can't passel him because it's not a yid yet. How can they say passel or not
passel?
Yeah,
but, okay. going against the chazaka is more difficult than not going against the chazaka.
Okay.
No? I mean, the Gemara is going to give a bunch of more cases with this, with mikvahs, and if we get there today.
It's possible that a woman doesn't even know for sure if it's mazal or not. Maybe she had relations.
I understand, but she would know definitely better than the father would know.
Two different people.
I understand, but she would definitely know better than the husband.
So if they are not believe, how would you know if somebody's mamzer?
Who decides who is mamzer?
If two Adam testified, he gets a mamzer.
That's the only way?
Yeah.
Oh, so mamzerim are only by Edim?
What's the possibility that they're Edim?
Very rare.
No, not a question. If you know for a fact, okay, a guy married his wife's sister.
Okay.
Guy divorces his wife, marries his sister. That's not so uncommon today, right?
Or his aunt.
Whatever, yeah. And then she got pregnant. So the kid's a mamzer. You know the kid's a mamzer.
What do you mean if they didn't get married?
Right, them thing, okay. No, no, if he didn't get married, maybe it's not a mamzer.
No?
So he's sikhu, it says. He can't marry him. But then you know the kid's a mamzer.
Okay.
Or if a person, it's an interesting din. What happens if, I had this case once many years ago, it was a very complicated case. The girl was never going around trying to get ahead to not to be a mamzer. This girl knew that she was a mamzeress. But how did she know? It was very simple. Her parents got married the first time religious, frum, okay? Then they didn't have a get. They didn't get a kosher get. And then their mother remarried somebody else. And she's from that. Okay, so...
They were frum, though.
Either they were or they weren't, but they had a religious wedding. They had a frum wedding. Many non-religious people also wanted to have a frum wedding, right? Hello?
Yeah. I'm ready.
World says there's three things that even non-religious people like to do religious. A bris, a marriage, and a levaya, funeral. There's even non-religious people want to have it done right. A bris... You know, bar mitzvah, they don't care. A bris, a wedding. No, b'chal, it's interesting. In the world, a lot of non-religious people want an Orthodox wedding. Yeah? So if it's a conservative wedding, for lack of better words, so then you pass the kedushin. So you never make her an eishes ish, so then, you know, the kid's not a mamzer. Right? But if it was a kosher wedding, yeah, and they didn't get a get, and then she married somebody else and had this kid, the kid's a mamzer. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it.
So what happens?
Nothing. So I'm saying, if a person comes along and says that I'm a mamzer, it's called shavah nafshi chaticha disura. They made themselves forbidden. It's not the testifying on themselves, because you can't testify against yourself, mm-hmm. Right? But you're putting yourself as a forbidden thing. Shavah nafshi. You make yourself chaticha disura, something which is forbidden. Is that because nemonis? Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example. A girl, I mean, this we learned in the Gemara before, yeah? A girl, one second. A girl who lived with a guy, yeah, cannot marry a kohen. Correct?
No.
How do you know she married a kohen? She was with a guy. The girl says so. She knows she was with a guy. The chayr is she not believed to testify against herself. Why is she asa l'kayin? Nobody else knows she was with a guy. She's coming and saying, I lived with a guy. So then she can't marry a kayin. Right? But the question, why not? She not believed. If a person says to Bezin, I killed somebody, Bezin doesn't believe him. If Bezin, somebody says, I ate treif, give me malchus, you don't, ain't other mason sats mirasha. Right? So why is a girl believed to say she lived with a guy? It's a sin. Why is she believed to say that I lived with a guy? It's a sin to do that. So why did she do it? I mean, why she believed? That's why she not believed. But by saying that she lived with a guy, she upon herself makes like a neder, she makes a chaticha disura, she becomes forbidden Not because she made herself, maybe she's not forbidden l'kayin. Because there's no nemanus, there's no trust in what she said. Because you can't testify against yourself. But she made herself possible by saying what she did. And that would apply.
So Rav Moshe's tshuva that the conservative, they should not try to get them to get married? It's one of the recent...
The what?
That
there is a big discussion in contemporary halacha. If a non-religious couple wants to get married, should you encourage them to have an Orthodox wedding or a conservative wedding?
There's always reform.
A reform. Or a gay wedding. A gay rabbi.
Yeah.
Gay rabbitson. Why? Because if statistically you look in the non-frum world, right? 50-60% of marriages end up in divorce, and they're not frum, so the chances of them getting a kosher to get is very minimal, and then they're going to remarry somebody else, like this, she won't be an Ashes Ish. But if they have an Orthodox wedding, and then they're not going to have a kosher to get, and then she'll marry somebody else, she'll be an Ashes Ish with Mamzeidim, so maybe it's better the other way. So it's a whole discussion. There are many poskim today that want to say that if a couple's not frum, it's better to tell them to do a conservative wedding than an Orthodox. We don't go by that. But
we don't?
No. But because you don't think, you do it right.
Wow, so what's wrong with a conservative get?
To be the Persians.
No, the Edom and Atrei Meshabes.
Do you need to have Edom for get through?
Sure. Yeah. Edom Chsi made the Mesira. Sure.
It's a big problem. A lot of Persian weddings.
What?
They're a kosher wedding.
Yeah. And then they don't get a get kalacha.
They didn't get it, not
kosher either. Well, a lot of them, the witnesses are like kosher.
Well, I don't know.
Why, if it's a proper rabbi that does the wedding, he makes sure the witnesses are kosher. That's why I get many times phone calls. They're having a conservative wedding, but they have somebody from in the family, so they want to make sure they should get kosher witnesses. I tell them, no, they shouldn't. If a conservative rabbi is doing the wedding, you should be fadish not giving kosher to witnesses.
Yeah.
Why? Because 20 years from now when they get divorced, or 5 years from now when they get divorced, yeah? A rabbi is going to hear a conservative rabbi did it, he's going to pass up the kedushin. But if they had kosher to edim, why do they pass up conservative chuppas? Because they don't take Shami Shabbos witnesses. They take brothers, sisters, they take non-kosher. So there's an assumption, if it's a conservative rabbi, the edim are not kosher.
So they're saying,
but if you're going to get them kosher edis, for that ayat, so then that is valid. Okay. So Rav's going to hear a conservative rabbi did the wedding, they're going to say, okay, so it's b'diavad, it's all good. But it's not okay because it was a kosher wedding.
They're not
going to
check the edim?
Not always you check the edim.
What makes it...
Not always can you.
Question. Two
questions. I went to somebody's house once, the maestro, if they needed to get or not. To look at the wedding video. Okay, now today you have videos.
Yeah.
Or they say in Russia, videos. You have videos today. So every part of it is video. You think everybody remembers who the witnesses were under the chuppah? You think everybody remembers? I don't remember who my witnesses were.
Well, it's not written?
Not in the Kedushin. I'm saying the Kedushin. Oh. It's not written. Right? Yeah. I don't remember. It could be anybody, yeah? So, if you don't know, so you don't know if they're Shemesh, you have to pray, were they Shemesh Shabbos? I don't know, I don't remember. I don't know who they were. So when you watch the video, somebody says, oh, I know who that is. They'll tell you, Shemesh Shabbos, not Shemesh, it matters, all these things.
So what makes a kosher wedding? The Edim?
Edim are the most, believe it or not, the most important kibbutz by a wedding is really the Edim. They make the wedding, not the brachas. The ksuba.
So that's what makes a kosher wedding.
Kosher wedding is the two edim that watch areya at mekudeshesli.
Isn't that bracha levatala if you use on kosher witnesses?
That should be the worst problem they have.
So two questions for you. One, that girl who came, who was the mamzeres, who can she marry?
she can marry a mamzer. The problem is that you don't, because their kids are going to be mamzer.
So in other words, she can't marry anybody.
She can marry a ger.
Okay.
But their kids are also going to be mamzer.
So who can she? She can't marry anybody then.
She can marry somebody that can't have children.
Oh, that's bad.
And so not Yisrael.
Yeah.
She can marry a ger that can't have children.
So another question.
She cannot marry. Why not?
A Yisrael's not allowed to marry a mamzer.
So another question. So if someone in my family gets married, right, who's not religious, I'm the only kosher witness in my family.
You're not a kosher witness because you're related. You're related to them.
Yeah. So and there's only one of you.
Meshe Rabbeinu couldn't be an Eidus at Aaron's wedding.
Well, there has to be two.
Oh, so I can't be a witness.
There has to be two.
If someone gets married, I can't be a witness.
I don't know how far it goes, the witnesses.
Cousins are still also disqualified.
Okay.
So the adding that they signed the ketubah, that's not the main part.
That's a financial, that's a monetary thing.
Uh-huh. So, okay.
The ketubah is financial.
That has to be shem hashem.
Anytime you have adis, you want a loan document. You have a loan document. You need one adim, it has to be kosher adim. If not, they're not adim. But the ketubah is a financial responsibility of a husband to the wife. That's not the kedushin.
Right.
The kedushin is that a at mekadesh yisrael, then she needs a get.
Why isn't it written though?
What?
Because
you don't write that ayat. He has to say it.
Yeah, I'm just asking. I don't remember why it's not written. Why we don't write?
Write where? For whom?
Ayat Mekodesh Adi.
No, somebody who witnesses a ring giving you talk.
Yeah, but why should you write it down? Like
because of same reasons. To make sure it's who they are.
But obviously, if a religious rabbi did the wedding, then you assume the witness is Dayda Makosha.
They use the same witness for the Adi Fatima or the two different sets.
Where?
You could, right? You could use the same witnesses?
You could use the same witnesses for everything. A lot of times, rabbis, they go to non-religious weddings. Yeah, so what do they use as Adim? So the rabbi is one aid, and he brings along a guy with him. A guy from his shul that's bored, he goes with him to be the second aid for the ksuba and for the kedushin. That's what they do. So what else can you do?
Rav David takes his son now.
No, but that's not a kosher aid.
Father and son.
Father and son are not kosher. So you can't do it. Next week there's no shit.